We begin the current daf in Sechtes Gittin, daf Samach Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Samach Mabez, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues quoting from our previous Mishnah, which was talking about this new topic of Dark Yishalom, where although the previous Mishnayos and Parakim were talking about Tikkun Olam, then talk about certain things that are to promote peace amongst people. Now, on that, the Mishnah had said, Mitzudas Chai V'Oifes V'Dogim, regarding the traps that people set up to catch wild animals, birds, and fish. So, although, as our Gemara will explain, that really the person has not acquired it yet, but yesh ben v'chulu, there is going to be a halach of gezel because of Dark Yishalom, because here are people trying their hardest to catch something, and somebody else, after he catches it, before the guy gets a chance to acquire it, grabs it away. That's going to create, obviously, problems. So because of Dark Yishalom, we consider it gezel. Now, Rabbi Yosi actually said, as a few different items he disagreed in the Mishnah, he considers it gezel gomer, complete theft. As the Gemara clarify, what's the difference? They're both saying that it's theft. What's the difference between Rabbi Yosi and the Tanna Kamma? But first, the Gemara explains that regarding this halacha of the mitzudes of the traps, so Be'uzli, regarding traps made out of threads, which have a receptacle, it has a concave, it has an opening, what's called a teich, a receptacle where it could catch which usually that's used for types of birds, or Ve'ehari, or traps made out of reeds, which are used to capture fish. Regarding these types of traps, the Gemara continues in Tabas Amach Aleph and Aleph says, Kuli Amalei Pligi. There nobody disagrees that since those traps have a kli, a receptacle, so that actually his vessel, the trap, has already acquired it for him, and that would be total theft. That he has already acquired by catching the animal, that's already his, and no one could take it. You don't need any rabbinic halacha of Dark Yishalom. Kei Pligi explains the Gemara, when was there machlokes in the Mishnah where we're only considering it rabbinically a problem, whether it's gezel or like Rabbi Yosi is calling it gezel gomer, that's belechi. That's, for example, when there's a hook or a kukri, when there's a cord, which are different types of traps and ploys that are used. For example, as Rashi says, that the fishermen would make a large string across the river, and they would put these hooks, these needles, that would go throughout the entire string, and then the fish would try to catch these things, and would get stuck on the hook. Those things, they don't have a teich. So although you caught the animal, but you weren't kind it yet, that's where we have machlekes between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosi. Is it just what we call this rabbinic Dark Yishalom gezel, or like Rabbi Yosi calls it gezel gomer, which Gemara will explain right now regarding the next case that they disagree with, same type of disagreement, regarding what's the ramifications of their machlekes. So the Mishnah said, Mitzias chereshayt v'chulu, similarly regarding when a deaf mute or a mentally deranged person or a minor finds a lost object, although he's not able to have a kinyanim acquisitions, so essentially if a child finds something, you grab it away and take it yourself, but because of Dark Yishalom, the Mishnah had said that you cannot. And Rabbi Yosi a gezel gomer. Rabbi Yosi says, no, it's considered total theft if you take it away from the child. Now, Amrav Chizki qualifies the halacha of Rabbi Yosi. He says, gezel gomer midivreim. Even according to Rabbi Yosi, it's not biblical theft, because as we said, according to biblical halacha, the child, the cheresh, the shaita, has not acquired it whatsoever. Rabbinically, we consider it as complete theft. So the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation like Rav Chizda said, so l'may nafkimina, then what's the halachic relevance that Rabbi Yosi is saying any different than the Tanna Kamma? Tanna Kamma also said rabbinically it's a problem because of Dark Yishalom as theft. So if you're saying Rabbi Yosi is also only rabbinic, so what's the halachic significance between the two opinions? So now the Gemara explains, lohitziya b'dayanim. The difference would be if you could actually take it away from the guy who had taken it from the child through the court system. Where according to the Rabbanan, you can't take it out with dayanim. Meaning, rabbinically, you're doing something wrong. If you take it away from the child, but we can't take it back from you. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosi, no, it's considered complete theft. Not biblically, but on a rabbinic level. So the child, his caretaker, whatever, could take you to court and get the object back. That's the difference in all these different halachas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yosi regarding if it's just what's called gezel because of Dark Yishalom, where then you cannot prosecute in the court, or according to Rabbi Yosi, calls it gezel gama mid divrayim, rabbinic total theft, where then you could even get it back, what this person had taken in the courts. Now, however, again, even according to Rabbi Yosi, as we said before, it's not going to be considered total theft, let's say, to become as an invalid witness, or to violate a negative prohibition, that it's not. It's only rabbinic, but again, the difference would be if you can get it in the courts. Then the Mishnah said another case of Dark Yishalom was Ani Hamanakef Beresha Zayis. If the pauper is cutting down olives on the top of an olive tree, because he's getting things that a poor person is allowed to take from other people's fields. So mashatachta b'chulas, what's beneath him is going to be considered, again, either gezel gamim in devarim, like Rabbi Yisu, like the Tanna Kama says, rabbinically problematic to take from him because of darkei shalom. So the Gemara explains, Tanu b'lein abraisa, imliket v'nasan. If let's say he gathered it, then he put it on the floor biyad, by his hand, so here it's going to be different. Because here, since he already came to his hand and then he put it down on the floor, harizel gezel gamim, that's total theft. As we said in the case of when you have your traps, where if it was already kainit, that's going to be total theft. All these halachas are talking about where he really biblically wasn't kainit yet, where you're just cutting and then the aleph falls down. Where, yes, you caused it to fall down, but you were never kainit yet, that's going to be gezel midrabanan because of darkei shalom. But if you had plucked it off of your hand, by the moment it goes into your hand, you're already kainit, now you throw it down to the ground, now it's total theft because it's yours already. As the Gemara illustrates this halacha, with the story there of Kahana of Ka'azla Hutzel. Kahana went to this place, Hutzel. Chazilahu Gaber, so he saw a certain person that was Shadi Ufye. He was throwing these sticks on a date palm tree because Nasrin Tamri and the dates were falling off. Now, Azl Kaman Kivachos, Rav Kahana went and he took some of the dates and he ate it. So Amalesa, that person said to Rav Kahana, Chazimar, master, look, the Bidoy Shadisinu, you should notice that these dates that were thrown down, they're not from the sticks. I actually did it by hand. Since I did it by hand, as we just mentioned previously from the Braisa, that's different. That's already total theft. There's no room for any leeway of saying that it's not a theft. There, it's totally that guy's. So Amalei Rav Kahana said to that person, oh, wow, Ma'asred Rabbi Yeshia, you must be from the place of Rabbi Yeshia, and Rabbi Yeshia was from Hutzel. And he was telling him that must be, and that's why you're so proficient in monetary law, because Rabbi Yeshia expounds for the public and notifies them of the halachas of monetary law. And that's how you know to differentiate and to tell me that, no, you did it by hand and therefore you were kainit already, made the rice, and that's why I can't take it. So Rav Kahana exclaimed regarding Rav Yeshia, a pasuk in Mishlei that b'tzadik yisayid olam. A righteous person is the foundation of the world. Here we see what a difference it could be when the tzadik gives a drasha for the rabbi and lets them know all the nuances of monetary law, which was allowing this person to understand his rights in regards to Rav Kahana, that Rav Kahana can't take it because he was already zeichet min deraisa by getting it by hand. Then the Mishnah said, "Im machen biyad ani nachrim." We don't protest when there is non-Jewish paupers when they come to take beleket, b'shechel, b'peya, they take the gleanings, they take the leftover bundles, they take the corners of the fields, which are left over really only for the Jewish paupers. Mimnei darkei shalom, because of peaceful ways, we don't protest if the non-Jewish paupers come and take also. Similarly, Tana b'nei Abraisa, Mefarnesim ani nachrim im ani Yisrael. We also support the non-Jewish paupers with the Jewish paupers. Umevakrin chayli nachrim im chayli Yisrael. We don't just, when we're visiting the Jewish sick people, together we visit the non-Jewish sick also. And also, v'kayvin meisei nachrim im meisei Yisrael. We bury the non-Jewish dead with the Jewish dead, which Rashi clarifies. It doesn't mean we bury the non-Jewish dead in a Jewish cemetery. Rather, we busy ourselves with, let's say they find dead people, and there are Jews and non-Jews, we don't just take care of the Jewish bodies, we take care of the non-Jewish dead too, again, burying them where it's appropriate for them. And again, Mimnei Darkei Shalom, these halachas are because of peaceful ways, so we don't just do it for the Jews. Once we're doing it, we do it for the non-Jews too. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme of the previous Mishnah of Darkei Shalom. So the Mishnah tells us, Mashalas Isha L'chaverta, a woman is allowed to lend to her friend, HaChashuda Ala Shvius, who this friend is suspect regarding the halachas of Shemitah, where she holds on to Shemitah produce, even though it's already past what's called the Zman HaBir. There's certain times in the Shemitah year where you can't hold on to it anymore, you have to get rid of it. Here, her friend holds on to it, thus violating this halach of Shemitah. Still, she's allowed to lend her a nafa, a sifter, a chvaro, or a sieve, a v'richayim, or a handmill, a tanner, an oven, meaning these types of utensils which are utilized for the processing of that forbidden Shemitah produce. Still, it's not a problem. As we'll see, that's part of the Darkei Shalom. She's allowed to lend her these utensils. Aval loy taver, but she's not allowed to sort with her bayr, v'loy titchenimah, neither is she allowed to grind her produce with her. In other words, to help her processing her produce, because it's forbidden to actively support a sinner at the time that they're doing a sin. where since her produce is Shemitah produce, when it's already forbidden, if you're going to be grinding with her and sifting, you're going to be helping her process an avera of Shemitah produce, and therefore that you can't do, but you could lend her your utensils. Similar halacha. Eishes chaver, mashelis le'eishes ama'aretz. The wife of a Tama Chacham, who's particular and careful in the laws of Tumah Tahara and the laws of Trumas and Maisus, she could lend to her friend, a woman that's the wife of an Ama Oretz, of an ignoramus, that she could lend her a Nofa, Uchvara, she could lend her the sifter and a sieve, Ubeireris v'techenes, she could also sort with her and grind with her, Umarakedesima, and she could sift with her flour, where the Gemara will ask the obvious question, where why is this any different than the halacha regarding Shemitah? Just like that woman suspect regarding Shemitah, the wife of an Ama Oretz suspect regarding the halachas of Trumas and Maisus. They don't take off the appropriate tithes, and therefore she's supporting her with the Isser of Tevel. The Gemara will address that question. But here the Mishnah is saying that she could do these things with her. Aval, but Mishnah Tatl Esamayim, but that's only in the beginning parts of processing the grain, which is when it's still flour. But when the water is already put into the flour, then loitiga ema, then she can't go ahead and touch the flour with the dough with her to work it with her, because from the moment it turns into dough, then it's already what's called hutva l'chala. It's not yet chala, but then it has the halacha status of tevel for chala, meaning that that's already the point when you could already separate the chala that goes to the kain from that dough. And the problem is that we assume that the utensils of Ma'ama Oretz are tummy. So therefore, when she's working with her, she's supporting the Eishes Ama Oretz, who's going to be metame something that's fit to be challah, which is a problem because you're not allowed to make challah, which is a biblical violation of making challah or any truma types of things that go to the kohen to make it tame. And therefore, she can't touch this dough with her lefisha in machzik in yidei ovri aver, because you're not allowed to support, as we said before, the process of a sinner who's committing a sin right now. And here she's supporting her when she's making the dough, and it's forbidden to make challah or something that could be challah to make a tummy. So at that point, she can't support her anymore. Now, the Mishnah qualifies, Bukula and Lai Umra, and all these things that we said, we didn't say that it's permitted to lend these vessels to these people and to support them at a time when she's not sinning right now. That was only, again, as we're continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, because of ways of peace. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam and Tosa explains, because here it's talking about a case where we know that the only produce that she really has is Shemitah produce. And therefore, if not for the halachic concept of Dark is Shalom, then we actually would have said that it's going to be Aser, because essentially you're really being Misayeya, a sinner, because you know the only produce that she has is Shemitah produce. And you're going to help her violate the Iser. So therefore, again, actively, when she's doing it, that you can't do. But to lend it, that we allow because of Dark is Shalom. Now the Mishnah concludes by saying regarding this that we mentioned a Shemitah violation, so you're not allowed to support a Jewish violator. So, but the Mishnah says, "Umachzikin yidei nachrim b'shvius." One could support the acts of a non-Jew, his work during the Shemitah year, which, as Rashi points out here, it sounds like that you're actually literally allowed to help him whatever work he's doing, and the Gemara will address that. Avalo yidei Yisrael, as we mentioned before, but you're not allowed to support a Jewish person that's working on Shemitah year, because it's forbidden to work the land on the Shemitah year. And moreover, the Mishnah ends, B'shailin B'shleiman. Any day of the year, one is allowed to ask a non-Jew how he's doing, even though you're placing Hashem's name on the non-Jew, because the word Shalom is one of Hashem's names. When you say Shalom, you say Shalom, you're really putting that on a non-Jew. So though that might be inappropriate, made darker Shalom because of ways of peace, where you tell all the people Shalom, and then you come to the non-Jew, you don't. So you could even put Hashem's name on the non-Jew, and you could always greet him any day of the year. Now the Mishnah, the Gemara asked the question that we mentioned, that we alluded to in the Mishnah, that is, Maishna Resha. Why is it any different in regarding to the first halacha the Mishnah mentioned, where we said that Loi Tavar, we said, you're not allowed to sort, you're not allowed to grind with the woman that suspect on violating the halachas of Shemitah, because we said then you're actively assisting a sinner when they're sinning with the Shemitah produce. Umayishna Seifa, now why is that any different than the halacha of the Seifa, meaning the next case of the Mishnah, where it said, regarding when there's an Eishes Chaver with an Eishes Ama Oretz, where it said that you could be by Reres Utechanus, you could sort with her, you could grind with her. Now the question is why? You're assisting a sinner when they're actively sinning with untithed produce, with Tevel. So why is it any different, Shemitah, where the she suspect where Eishasam Arts is suspect also regarding produce of Tevel. So Abaya said, Rav Amiha Oretz Ma'astrenein. The majority of ignoramuses really do take off Trumas and Mises. So therefore, although we know there's Aloch of Demai, but that's just a rabbinic concern. That's it's a very slight chance that it is like that, because really the most of them do take off Maaser. So that's why the Mishnah was saying that because of Darkei Shalom, because of keeping the peace, you're allowed to support them and to help them. Now, in contrast to the Reisha, where, as Rashi points out, the words Chashuda ala Shvias, regarding when we said that her friend is a woman that suspects regarding Shemitah produce, sounds like that actively we know that she really is not careful about that halacha. So if she's not careful about Shemitah, so yes, you cannot support her. But regarding Eishes HaMa'aretz, where it's really, the majority really do take off Trumas and Maaser, so we don't really have to suspect. In halacha we do, and that's why there are certain halachas of Demai, but because of Darkei Shalom, so we'll go with that, we won't be concerned for that slight chashash that it's Tevel, and therefore she could even support her actively when she's being bayer and teichin the flower with her. That's Abai's resolution. Now, Rav Amar, he says now that truthfully is that regarding even the case of the Sefer, regarding the halacha of Eishes HaMa'aretz, regarding the produce of Tevel, it is a 50-50 doubt regarding if she's supporting her, if she's assisting her in processing produce of Tevel. And therefore, you're right. Rav would hold that in general, it is forbidden to work with the Eishes HaMa'aretz to grind and to sift and to sort with her. Because yes, you're going to be supporting someone when they're actively sinning with produce of Tevel. But, says Rava, our Mishnah is actually talking about a woman that is muhzik, that is, she is presumed that she does take off Maaser from her produce. Now, although the question is, but we know that Amma Oretz, generally, that's where the whole halach of Dubai came from, that they don't take off Trumas and Maaser. So Rava explains, Hacha b'Amma Oretz dira meyer. Here in our Mishnah, we're talking about when we said that her friend is an Eishes Amma Oretz, it's a certain type of Amma Oretz, certain type of qualitative ignoramus, which is the opinion of Reb Meir. Well, he holds that the Amma Oretz is suspect only regarding that they eat their produce in the state of Tumah, and therefore the Tumah v'Tahara. What we're discussing in the Mishnah is regards to the halacha of impurity of chulin produce, which is only Dirabbanan. It's only rabbinic halacha, because the Torah only said what you have to eat in the state of purity is regarding Truma and Kadshim, but not regarding chulin, not regarding regular produce. So therefore, what we're talking about over here is not an Issa D'Oraisa. So it's only rabbinic concern of having chulin even in the state of Tahara. So because of Darkei Shalom, since it's only rabbinic halacha, so that's why you're allowed to support her. In contrast to the Reisha, which is Tomat Shemitah, which is the biblical halacha, that's why there, the halacha was that you cannot assist her. The time like Luna Braisa, that where we see this opinion of Remeir. The Braisa says, Ezehu Amma Oretz. Who is considered Amma Oretz ignoramus? Is called she'ena oichel chulav b'tahara divrei meir. Meir holds that what's considered when we use the term Amma Oretz, it means someone that doesn't eat his chulin produce in the state of tahara. The chachamim, they say kol she'ena ma'asa pereisa. They were the opinion that we were assuming in our question that who is an Amma Oretz is someone that doesn't take off a prohibited maestris. So we had the question: what do you mean if we don't take off maestris? So then it's a halacha of tevel. So why is tevel any different than shemitah? And that Rava says that no, we're not going like the Chacham's opinion. Our Mishnah is going like Dama Oretz of Remeir, where the whole concern is regarding Tumah and Tahara, which that's something that only comes on a later point in time, which as we said in the Mishnah, regarding when it's already mixed with water. But beforehand, there's actually no concern of Tevel. That's not the definition of Amma Oretz, according to the Amma Oretz of our Mishnah, which is going like Remeir. Now, the Gemara asks, and again, that's why you could work with her in that produce. Now the Gemara asks, but Miktani Seifa, but from the fact that we learned at the latter half of that halacha of the Eishes HaMa'aretz, the Mishnah said Mishatatel Samayim, but when they already stopped putting the water into the flour, then Loi Tigima. Then the Mishnah said that then you can't work with her anymore with the Eishes HaMa'aretz regarding her dough. Now as Rashi explains, the questioner assumes that the reason why it's forbidden when you put the water into the flour is because at that point in time, The dough becomes what's called huchshur lekabel tumah. It becomes vulnerable, susceptible to tumah, because produce generally cannot contract tumah until it comes in contact with a liquid. So the grain has not come in contact with a liquid. So then it's not ro lekabel tumah. So there's no concern of tumah yet, and neither is there a concern of tevel. As we said, we're going like the Amma Oretz of Remeir. So therefore, that's what happens when you put in the water. But on that, asks the Gemara, Mechlal, the Reish Allah, Betumah V'Tahara Askinan. The inference is that the halacha of the first part of that case was not discussing the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. In other words, there was no concern at all of any Aveira of Tumah, because you're saying that why is it changed when you put in the water into the flour? Oh, because only then does it become susceptible to Tumah. Now, so if it's like Rava explained, that what we're discussing over here is a woman that is trustworthy regarding maestras. It's Amma Artsdir and Meir, who, yeah, they take off Trumas and maestras, not like the Chacham. The whole concern is regarding that they don't need Techulun B'Tahara. So why does the Mishnah say, the Kulun the Amru Elev Nedar Kisham? The Mishnah qualifies as, oh, all these leniencies that we made, which again, regarding the halacha of a woman that doesn't keep Shemitah, was to lend her the vessels, and regarding Eshes Hama Eretz was that you could even work with her in the flour. That's only because of Darkei Shalom. I mean, we had to go a little bit more lenient than we usually do because of the ways of peace. But the problem is, according to Rava's interpretation, it's totally permitted. What should be the concern? What's the problem? There's no problem about Tevel, because you don't consider Hama Eretz someone that doesn't take off. They take off Meiser. The only problem is regarding Tumah Tahara. Now, Tumah Tahara only starts when you put in the water, because why else would at that point in time, then you can't work with her. So beforehand, there was no Tumah Tahara. So if it's not discussing Tumah Tahara, then what was the problem that you're saying it's only because of Darkei Shalom that we're lenient? So that the Gemara answers, no, it's not a difficulty. Reisha v'seifa b'tumah v'tahara. Both the first half of that case, meaning when it's still flour, and the second half of that case, when it's already dough, were discussing, and that was the concerns we had, was regarding the halachas of Tumah Tahara. And the truth is, because we're discussing that the produce, the grain, has already come in contact with a liquid, and it's already susceptible to Tumah. But, Vereisha, regarding the first half of the case, as long as you have not put it with water, it's not turned into a dough yet, then it's only what's called Betumas Chulin. The whole concern we have over here is just a rabbinic halacha of, is this Chulin becoming Tumah? So that's what the Mishnah was qualifying and saying, that we did not make a decree. We're not concerned about you supporting and assisting someone making chulin tumah, because it's only rabbinic. And because there's a concern of Darkei Shalom, as long as you don't eat from that, it's okay. That's why we allowed you to go ahead and sift with her and grind with her and sort with her. But the seifa, the second half of the case, when you really put water into that flour making into dough, now it took it to a whole new level. Now we're discussing Betumas Chala. We're talking about a biblical violation, because you're not allowed to make Chala or even something that's able to have Chala taken out from this, which is called Tovel L'Chala. It's already considered untithed for Chala, meaning because you already have the obligation of taking Chala from it. You're not allowed to make it Tamei with your hands. As the Pasuk says in Bemidbar Yudchas, as Mishmeres Trumasai, which that applies to any types of halachas like truma, which includes chala, that you have to do what's called a shimur. You have to safeguard it that it doesn't become tama. And therefore, it's where there is we say, oh, now already you can't do. Okay, that's already issed d'oraisa. There, for Darkei Shalom, we weren't going to be lenient. But there's no difficulty. Yes, the reish was also talking about Tumah Tahara, because it already had come in contact with one of the liquids, one of the seven types of liquids that make it vulnerable and susceptible to tumah. But that's only a issed d'rabanan, so there we were lenient. But issed d'oraisa, when it already came in contact, made it into dough, now you can already take challah from it, which is what's given to the kohen. That's already a biblical violation of Baba Kamik Tamei, and there is something where that's what we're going to be concerned already for. Because that's what Amma Aretz is, according to Emeya, that they're not careful to have their produce eaten in a state of purity. Now, but Raminu, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rava from the following brisa. As we continue on to Amud Beis, the brisa says, toichanin, that a person could grind their produce that was already properly tithed, umafkidin, and they could also deposit it, etzel oichle shvias. Meaning, even though someone that's a sinner in this regard, that they eat shmita produce, but you could still grind it and deposit it by them, or ve'etzel oichle perisen b'tumah, or even by someone that eats his produce in tumah, you're allowed to grind it next to them, and you're allowed to deposit it next to them, because as Rashi explains, they're not suspect that they're going to exchange it or that they're going to touch it. So we don't have to be concerned that maybe it's Shemitah produce now or maybe that they made a Tumah. So although that they themselves do eat Shemitah produce and they themselves eat their produce in Tumah, it's okay. You could deposit next to them and you could work next to them. Aval, but says the Braisa, loy le'oichle shvias, but not for a Shemitah produce consumer. In other words, the produce of a sinner, whether it be the Shemitah, or the Eichle Perisim B'Tumah, you're not allowed to grind their produce, and v'loy lo echli perisein b'tumah, not for the one that eats his produce in the state of tumah, meaning because you're not allowed to assist them in their aveira, which their produce is shmita, their produce is tumah. Now, the problem with this is that in our Mishnah, we learned, according to Rava's interpretation, that we said, techenes imo. We said that when if this woman has a friend that's Amma Aretz, she could grind with her. Now, Rava had said that what's that talking about? That someone that eats their chulin in the state of tumah. So he said that even though they eat their chulin in the state of tumah, since it's only a rabbinic problem, we said, okay, b'nei darkei shalom b'linyan. Now, the problem is, this brisa contradicts that. This brisa says that no, you cannot take the produce of someone that eats his peiris in the state of tumah and grind it with them. But why not? You said exactly the opposite in the Mishnah, that since that's only a rabbinic problem, it's not yet dough, it's not tavel for challah, so then why does the brisa say that it's us if the way you learned up the Mishnah is that it's actually permitted because of darkei shalom, since it's only rabbinic? So I'm Abaye explains for Rava, which as Tosfos points out, that he's only answering for Rava, because actually according to his interpretation, it's not difficult. As we learned, the first answer given in the Gemara was that of Abaye, who he actually holds that it is going to be Asr. He only held that it's not a problem by the halacha, not of Tum and Tahara, but actually of the halacha of Tevel. And he said a different reason, because it says Rav Ma'astrin Hain. But you're right, it is Tum and Halacha of Amma Oretz regarding the halachas of Tevel. But because Darkei Shalom, since the majority do take off, it's not a problem. But here he's really coming to answer for Rava, and as Tosfos points out many times in Shas, we have that, where you have the one opinion answering for the other opinion. So Abaye answers, it's not difficult on Rava. Why? Hasam, the brisa that says that it's forbidden, is b'koyin. We're talking about that person that you're not allowed to assist is a koyin ha-choshed lechel truma b'tomaskin. It's not just regular good old chulin, which, yeah, that's just a rabbinic concern, which, yes, in our Mishnah we say that's permitted because of darkei shalom. This that you're not allowed to assist him is a koyin that suspects to eat his own truma in the state of tumah. Tahavli, tumah dairaisa. That is a biblical violation of making truma tumah. Since that's a biblical violation, as we explained before, there we are stringent, and there we say that it's forbidden to assist him. So that's the difference. If it's dairaisa, like we said, let's say when it's tavel v'chala, once you put in water into the flour, there, yes, our Mishnah agrees is going to be aser, because dairaisa, that brisa is tumah dairaisa case too, because tumah truma, not chulin. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case that you're interpreting this brisa that's talking about a koyin, and that's why it's forbidden to assist him with his produce, then the question comes, how do we understand the first halacha of that brisa? How can you say, mafkidin, that you could deposit your produce by him, and like we explained, you don't have to be concerned that maybe he touched your produce, but verminu, that seems to be contradicted from a different brisa. The brisa says, mafkidin truma etzel yisrael ama aretz. You're allowed to deposit your truma by a Yisrael Amma Aretz, because since he's not accustomed with truma, he's not going to touch it. He knows that's off limits. But v'loy etzel koyin Amma Aretz, but you're not allowed to deposit your produce, specifically that of truma, by a koyin Amma Aretz, m'neshalibay gaspa, because he's very accustomed to it. So he's very easily with truma. And then he might come to touch it. Now, the Gemara's assumption is, as the Mefarshim explained, that it sounds like that this day you could grind next to this person and you could deposit it next to this person, is even talking about if what you're depositing by him is truma. Now, the problem is, if you just describe the second case of that brisa as discussing that person is a kohen, so then how can you, so by a kohen amar, so we understand that's why you can't work with his produce, because that's going to be a biblical violation, but then how could the brisa first say that you could deposit your own produce by him? See, we have to consider that he might come to touch it. And that is a problem. The whole reason why I said you could deposit is we said we're not concerned he's going to touch it. And this brisa says that by a koyin ama aretz, he might come to touch your truma. So Amar Belar, Reb Loi says, that's not difficult. Hachamai Eskinah, what we're talking about in the first brisa, you're right, as we see from this brisa you just introduced, that by a koyin ama aretz, as we're explaining, that's the case of the first brisa, the koyin ama aretz might touch your truma. But the first brisa is talking about b'kli cheres, that you give him your own truma in an earthenware vessel that's hamukiv tzamad pasel, that's surrounded with a closed covering that's closed where it can't become tummy by touching because it's sealed. And since there's no way of the guy touching it and the vessel itself does not become tummy by touching it, that's why there's no concern. But you're right, generally, that there is a concern by Koyin Amma Aretz of touching it. Now the Gemara asks, how is that an answer? V'lechi shemetasi tenu ishtei nida. But you're right, you can't be metamed through maga by touching it, but let's be concerned that his wife, who the Amaratzim are not careful with these halachas of Tumah Tahara, if his wife is a Nida, whatever she carries becomes Tumah, even not through touch. So let's be concerned that maybe what you're depositing by him, his wife might carry it, and that's going to transmit Tumah to the Truma. And they're very ruggle, they're very accustomed in Truma. They might come to touch it or to carry it, which is going to transmit Tumah. So how could you deposit it by Kohen Am Haaretz? So Ela Amar B'Yemri, rather B'Yemri gives a different resolution of this question. It says, Loi Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Khan, this second brisa that we had asked from, that said that you're not allowed to deposit Truma by a Kohen that's Am Haaretz, that's B'Persha Hochshuru. That's talking about by produce that's already has come in contact with one of the seven types of liquids, which has already made it susceptible to Tumah. And the Kohen Am Haaretz is very accustomed. He's not going to shy away of touching this other person's Tumah. That's going to be a problem because he's going to make a Tumah. Khan, but in the first price that we mentioned, which is the one that we're discussing, that says that you could be Mafkid and you could deposit your even Tumah by a Kohen Am Haaretz, because we described that's the case that it's talking about, is B'Perish Shalei Hochshur. It's Tumah produce that has not yet become susceptible to Tumah. And therefore, there's no difficulty. You're right, they're both talking about Tumah. But the one that holds that you cannot deposit it is Tumah because it's already susceptible to Tumah. The one that says you can deposit it is because it's not susceptible to Tumah. Now, however, even though we're talking about produce that's not susceptible to Tumah, still the end of that brisa said that regarding their produce, the Kohen Am Haaretz's produce, you're not allowed to assist him with his Tumah because the Talmud Chacham, the one that is careful about these halachas, doesn't know if his produce was Hochshur L'Tumah or not. Because since his produce might have already come in contact with one of the seven liquids, then if it is, and then since the Kohen Am Haaretz is not careful about the halachas of Tumah, he might be assisting him in being metame Truma, which is a biblical violation. That's why that's asa. And therefore, there's no contradiction. Again, we are talking about a Kohen Am Haaretz. That's why it resolves the question we had on the Mishnah, where, yes, if it's just rabbinic, you could support, because our Mishnah is from Achulin. But let's say when it becomes tavel v'challa, like it says, if this water comes in, that's biblical, that's a problem. In this brisa, which we explained, is talking about a Kohen Am Haaretz, where it's talking about truma, his truma, that is a problem, because that's a biblical violation of being metame, that you cannot assist him. But although he's a Kohen Am Haaretz, that's what we're explaining, still you're allowed to go ahead and give him your own truma produce, because although, yes, he's going to touch it, but it's not hochshur. Your own produce wasn't yet in contact, but his produce you don't know, and it might be a nisr deraisa of being metame. But the Gemara continues to ask and says, Reminu. But there seems to be a contradiction from Mishnah Masechta's Demai on all this discussion that we're having with Rabbi's opinion. Because the Mishnah there says, HaMoylech Chitin L'Teichin Kuti, if someone is transporting and he brings his wheat to a Kutian, a grinder, a guy who mills the wheat, Oy L'Teichin Am Haaretz, or if the one that grinds it is Am Haaretz, so HaRe'elu B'Ches Kasson, so says the Mishnah, that the produce that you're giving to this grinder, although he's a kuti and Am Haaretz, it retains its status that it had up until now for lemaisu l'shvis, for the halachas of mais and shvis. In other words, that teichen, that grinder, is not suspect that he's going to exchange it in something that, let's say, was not taif or something that's from produce of shvis. That it's okay. That you can maintain that status quo. Avoloi l'tumah, but not for the halachas of tumah. In other words, we are concerned that grinder, whether he be an Am Haaretz or whether he be a kuti, is maybe he touched it. Now, previously we had mentioned that you could deposit your produce by an Am Haaretz. And here it sounds like, and why could you? So we said because you could grind with him, you could deposit by him, because he's not going to touch it. Now, that seemingly is contradicted over here by this Mishnah Masechtas Demai, that sounds like that he is suspected he's going to touch. And that's why, with regards to halachas of Tumah, you have to assume that it maybe became Tumah. Now, that contradicts what we said before. So the Gemara says, Hai Mai Rumi, what is this contradiction? Lavo Kimna B'Perish L'Hokshur, didn't we just answer that brisa is talking about, and that's actually why we said that you could deposit it by him, because although, yes, we said that he will touch, we already said we know he's going to touch. That's exactly like the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. He's going to touch. But the reason why we said that you're allowed to deposit it in that first brisa is because it didn't come in contact with a liquid yet, and therefore it's not susceptible to Tumah, so it cannot become Tumah. That's where you can deposit. So that's why it's not a question. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's pretty obvious. With the Kari law, my Kari law, the one who asked the question, why did he ask the question? This is exactly how we had just resolved it. We said that it's talking about that it wasn't Hochshur L'Kabel Tumah. So why would the questioner think that is a problem for the Mishnah Masechtas Demai? So the Gemara says, you're right. Really, it was no question. Mishum de kabayla mirma achrita law. It's only because the questioner here in the Gemara wanted to ask a different question on that Mishnah Masechtas Demai from a different part of that Mishnah, where we said, although we were asking from the second part of, but you don't trust him regarding Tumah, which we said, that's not a question, because of course we don't. Of course he's going to touch. It's only regarding the Brisa we had originally brought, the reason why he says it's not a problem, because it wasn't Hoksh L'Kabbal Tumah. So the Gemara says, actually, it was just a segue. He really wanted to ask on that Mishnah Masechtas Demai from the first half of the halacha, where it said, Hare Elu Becheskas and Lamaisa L'Shviyas, that we said that even though you're giving it to a Teichen that's Amaoret or a Kuti, still, you could assume that it remains in the status that it was up until now, that it was tithe produce, and that it wasn't from Shemitah produce, which the inference is, which the halacha, obviously, that the Mishnah they were saying, is L'chalufi L'chashin, is that we're not concerned that the grinder went and switched it, swapped it with some type of forbidden type of produce. Now, so that's as Rashi explains. That's where the Gemara had brought this in over here. It asked the question from the other part of the halacha on what we were discussing about Tilna. We're having a conversation here in the Gemara, and it's talking about the opinion of Rava, how that works with how he interprets the Mishnah with a Brisa and then with a different Brisa. So, really, the Gemara wanted to ask on this other halacha, the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. So the way it introduced it was by bringing it in by the second half of the halacha, that you don't trust him for tumah. Oh, you don't trust him, mean he's going to touch. Oh, then how that brisa? Now, that's not a question, as we said, because that's pretty obvious the answer. Because, yes, of course he's going to touch. And we just said before, the brisa tumah went not hoksh l'kabbal tumah. But it's only because he really wanted to ask on the other part, which the Gemara is going to continue with right now, where you said, okay, but regarding my sen shvius, we have no concern that he swapped it. Touching he'll do, but swapping he won't do. But v'riminu, it's on that Mishnah Masechtas Demai that another Mishnah contradicts that part of the halacha. Because the Mishnah says, anoisin l'chamoisin, if someone gives to his mother-in-law dough to work with, to make bread for it, now that person, the son-in-law, is a chaver, he's a talmud chacham. Now, his mother-in-law is the wife of an ama aretz. His father-in-law is an ignoramus. Now, what he did was, he had his mother-in-law go to the mikvah so that she's pure and that she's not going to be metame his dough. Now, but, says the Mishnah, ma'aser eshuhu noisin la. Before he gives the dough to work with it and make chal out of it, he has to first take off ma'aser from it, and moreover, ve'eshuhu noitel emeno. Even what he takes back from her, he has to again take off ma'aser. Why? Neshe chashuda, because she suspect, machlefes ha'meskalkel, that maybe she switched the dough that got ruined. In other words, let's say she botched it and she ruined his dough. So she's going to give her own dough that's much better. So therefore, since we have to suspect that maybe she swapped it, so therefore, when he's giving it to her, he has to first take off Maisa, because if she is going to switch it, it's going to turn out that he's feeding her, although unwittingly, and definitely doesn't want that, a dough that didn't have Maisa taken off from it yet. Because ultimately, she's going to take his dough, and she's going to give him the better dough, so he's going to be giving her his untithe dough, so he has to first take off Maisa in case she switches it. Moreover, when he takes back the bread from her, he has to take off Meister again, because if she did switch it, turns out he's going to be eating her dough, which neither that had Meister taken from it. So that's why he has to take off Meister when he gives it and when he takes it. But one thing that we see is that Ama Aritz is suspect, not just regarding touching, but even regarding swapping. So how could that Mishnah in Masechtas Demai say that when you give it to the Teichin, that's Ama Aritz, no, it's okay, you could assume that it's the same tithe produce that you gave her, but we see clearly in that other Mishnah that's not true, that we have to suspect that maybe they did switch it. So the Gemara says, no, Hasim, because they tell any time it. Generally, they're not going to switch it. But there is like the Mishnah itself explains why. Because Amar Behuda, Behuda says, Reitzehi betakanas bita, the mother-in-law wants the best for her daughter. She's not switching it to cause problems. Ubaisha mechasana, she's embarrassed from her son-in-law. She botched the bread. Now, she's never going to switch it and give her own stuff because she wants to do better. But you're right. Generally, we're not concerned if you give it to just a random grinder, a storekeeper, he's not going to switch it. We don't have to be suspicted of it. Touching, yeah, he'll touch. That we have to be concerned for. Switching, not. Here, the mother-in-law wants it to be better. There, it's going to be different. Now, the Gemara continues asking, so you tell me that, but generally, by an Am Aretz, we don't have to suspect that maybe they swapped what you gave them regarding, let's say, Meiser and Shemitah produce. But Vatnan, within another Mishnah Masechtas Demai, that talks about a yeshiva bachar, a Talmud that is learning by his rabbi, but he stays by someone else's house, that's the Nama Aretz. And the caretaker, the woman over there in the house, bakes his dough. Now, says the Mishnah, but the Hanoisin Lepundikis, when the Yeshiva Bacha, when the Talmud gives it to the homemaker, so Ma'aser Eshu Noisin La, he has to take off Ma'aser before he gives the dough to her. The Eshu Noitleman, and when he takes the bread back from her, he has to take off Ma'aser again. Why? Nishmach Lefes, because she's going to switch it. And here it's not a shviger, it's not a mother-in-law that, so you see that you are concerned by Amar, that maybe they're going to switch. So that contradicts that other Mishnah Masechtas tonight. So I think Mar says, no, Hasam, there also, she's intending to do a favor and a goodness for this Yeshiva Bacher. Because Moira, she's what's called being Moira Heter. She's paskening for herself that it's a mitzvah to switch this. Why? Because Vama, she's going to say, no, Barbi Rav Lechel Chamima, the Yeshiva student, he should eat warm and fresh bread. I'll eat the cold bread, where Rashi says, when it says warm and cold, it means after 2 and 3 days, when it's really going to get harder and versus softer, then she switches it, then she'll swap the bread. That's why we have to be concerned. Generally, no, we don't have to be concerned as something malicious, which is we're going to be touching what you shouldn't be touching. We have to suspect. But swapping, they wouldn't do. In cases of when they think they're doing a favor, then we would be concerned that they would come to swap. And that's why there it's also going to be asur. But generally, it's not a problem like by a teichin. I think Mara still asks, Fakate la'ama loichashin, but is that really true that, but in general, we're not concerned that they're going to swap? But Vatanu learned a brayse that says, Eishes chaver, the wife of a Talmudic scholar, techenis im eishes ama aretz, could grind with, meaning, and support the grinding of the wife of a ama aretz. But says the Braisa, that's only b'zman shehi, only when the Eishes Chaver herself is that she's Tamei, that she's Tamei. Now, as Rashi explains, since when she's Tamei, she usually is not going to touch what she assumes to be her produce, so we're not concerned that when she's assisting her friend that's a Amma Aretz, that she's going to take some of it and put it in her mouth, because she knows she's Tamei. When she's Tamei, she doesn't just touch things, she has to make sure that it's Tamei. She's not going to eat, so she's not going to enter into the problem about eating from her friend's produce, which has a problem about being Tevel. But says the Tanakhama, when she's Tahira, where, okay, she's pure, she could eat from regular Tahara produce, then she might come to eat from her friend's produce, which is a problem, because we have to be concerned that maybe it's Tevel, untyped produce. So at that time, she can't work with her. Pshim ben Elazar, he says, no, Av bezman she Tamei lo titchen. Even when she's Tamei, she cannot grind with her. Memnei shechaverta, the reason is because her friend, as we continue on top of Samach Bezer and Aleph, neisenis lo vaychelis. You're right, she herself wouldn't take. Because when she's tummy, she knows she doesn't eat, but her friend's going to give it to her. And if she's going to give it to her, she's not going to be aware, and then she's going to come to eat it. So then even when she's tummy, she can't work with it because she might end up consuming the tevel produce of her friend that's a Eishes Ama Aretz. But one thing we see is that the wife of Ama Aretz is suspect to steal from her husband, because she doesn't own it, it's her husband's flour, and she's going to give it to her friend. So says the Gemara, Hashtem Mignev Gamva, if we're concerned that by Eishes Ama Aretz, that she steals, so Chalufa L'Machlefa, so she's not going to swap? If she steals outright produce of her husband, so what? So when someone gives her something, she's not going to go ahead and switch it? So that's, if we see that for sure, she's going to swap. So again, that goes back to the difficulty of that Mishnah Masechtas Demai that we again segued to introduce. When you bring your wheat to Teichen, that's Ama Aretz, why did we say it's Becheskas L'Maisa Shviyas? We have to be concerned that they swapped it. Here the Gemara also says, "No, Rabbi Yosef, Hasam Nami Moira." There also, she tells herself that it's permitted to do this, and it's actually a mitzvah. And she says, "Why?" Because V'amr, she says, "Toira Medisha Ka'achal." An ox eats from what it's threshing, which that's a pasuk in the Torah, Le'Sachsam Shar Medisha, which is when an ox is goring, when the ox is grinding, then the halacha is you can't have it muzzled; you have to let it eat from it. So what this wife is saying, she's saying the same thing's over here. But my friend is helping me. What she's helping, she's allowed to eat from. And that's why she'll tell herself that it's permitted to do that, to steal. And yes, in that type of situation, of course, she would swap too. But again, generally, of course, she would not swap, and of course, she wouldn't steal. Again, in the general case, and that's why all these are not difficult on Mishnah Masechtas Demai, because generally, when you give it to a stranger, a random person, like a Teichen Ama Aretz, he's not going to swap it. And you could assume that it's the same Meister that was separated from it, and it's not Shemitah produce, and they didn't swap it. And all these cases are unique cases where they think that they're doing something righteous, so then they'll do what's called Meir Heter and say that it's permitted and it's actually a mitzvah. That's why they're going to swap and even come to steal, but generally, that's not a concern.